Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go. Let's go. Grant and Danny here on The Fan. You're not going to hear Grant. That poor son of a gun is laying down horizontal somewhere,
feels
coughing,
so awful for him.
Just miserable. He is flued up. This is not his Jordan flu game. This is his rest up Friday. The poor guy is missing this show. He's probably beside himself. So here's what we did instead. I'm Danny Ruye. That's not Grant, that's Tobias Funke, a.k.a. Toblerone, a.k.a. Tobertime. Toby Altizer here with me, live at Uptown Alley. What's up, bro?
I'm so excited. The first thing we saw, though, was Lions fans, which I was a little bit disappointed
by. Wasn't that nice? Wasn't that neat?
I mean, look.
Very nice, man.
We're both in this together, right? This franchise has been irrelevant for a long time. Theirs has been irrelevant for a little bit longer. And hopefully, they don't get their first Super Bowl this year because Washington keeps going.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got plenty of Washington, burgundy, and gold represented as well.
And Uptown Alley is awesome. We're here in Manassas. We'll be here until 6:30 p.m. This place rules. We were here before. It was great. We're back again. It remains great. You can play some billiards. You can bowl. You can eat foodstuffs. There's a whole arcade situation. I love this place. This is an awesome, awesome spot. So come on out. Knock off work early. Pretend that you're at work. Do the thing where it's like, I just have a personal moment. It's a real quick, I'll be right back. And then don't come back. Whatever you do, come by and see us, and let's talk about the foosball. We've got a good radio program for you. Kirk Morrison, longtime NFL veteran, will join us at 3 to talk about our game, playoffs in general. And you may have heard of this guy, John Jansen. You know, that badass that played tackle here in Washington will join us at 5 p.m. We got all sorts of fun stuff we've got planned for you. This is not a normal show, Tobes, because this is not normal. Okay, Detroit knows this, and our Detroit fans here can speak this. I was talking to those guys before we went on air, and this is rarefied air. When you went 60-plus years with nothing to show for it, a lot of Scott Mitchell, you know what I mean? A lot of the best running back in the sport for negative 2 yards because the line stunk. A lot of Wayne Fontes, I don't know how it is, and I don't care. They're now awesome. They're where Washington wants to be in a couple of seasons. Okay, Washington is just beginning their rebuild. When Detroit did, they went 4-13 or 4-12, 3-13. I can't remember which. They were stinky on ice. Now they are a juggernaut. They are the one seed. They are great. They have earned everything that's coming to them and more. Washington is trying to play. Spoiler, they are beyond ahead of schedule. We understand that. But before we get into kind of the teeth of the radio program here, we've got a nice dichotomy. I think I'm actually twice your age, like almost to the number.
Perhaps close.
I'm 45. You are
26.
That's annoying. Anyway, but no, I mean I'm closer to twice your age than I am to your actual age.
Sure.
Point of the dude's story is this: I remember, I was there, I saw it. It felt forever. It felt impossible to ever get back there. You've never seen it.
Never seen it. I mean,
so what is this? So I want to start here. I didn't mean to cut you off. But what does this mean? Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, you don't know. I do, but it's been a long time. Let's go into that.
I don't even know what it feels like, Danny. I've never been here before. In my lifetime, they've won one playoff game. I don't remember it. I remember plenty of playoff losses. So I don't know what it feels like. It's a feeling of joy, and it was something where, in my lifetime, I've never felt like there was a legit chance that this team could go do anything. Like, they could win a playoff game, maybe, but there's no chance, no chance of ever winning a Super Bowl. You're thinking of... You can pick a second team that's your playoff team, Danny, if you're Miami.
Yeah, I'm rooting against Dallas, rooting against Philly.
And it's not even that. It's like, oh, I really like Patrick Mahomes, or I really like Lamar Jackson, and that's my playoff team because Washington's never going to be there. I don't even care what's going on around the rest of the NFL this week, Danny. I don't know this feeling. Where I was telling JP this earlier in the season, where this team was so special this year that it became something that if I missed a 4 o'clock game, if I missed a Sunday night game, if I missed a Thursday night game, as long as I caught Washington, that's all that mattered. And for the first time in my life, that's all that mattered. And that's how it feels. And I've never felt that way before. So it's a special feeling going into a huge game like this where my team, the team that I've grown up rooting for and loving, is the one that people are going out of their way to watch. They wanted to see them play last week against Tampa. They want to watch the guy that's wearing burgundy and gold wearing number 5, Jaden Daniels. It's never been like that in my life. And so this is a special feeling that, frankly, I don't even know how to quantify because I've never been here before.
I was talking to a Skins fan before, and the whole point here is I fully understand. I'm aware of the facts. There's a reason this is the largest spread of the weekend. Detroit, again, is excellent. That should always center our conversation here. That is an excellent football team, built incredibly well. Everything about them is what I covet and want, and we're doing it right now. We're beginning that process. Here's the point, though. They got to see us. As that final whistle, or really the final doink, happens against Tampa, and it's a Wolkoof. You win that game, I already started to think ahead to Detroit. You play this game 100 times, maybe Detroit wins, what, 75, 80, 84, 86? I don't know, and I don't care. They got to do it. Tomorrow night, they got to see our guy. Tomorrow night, they're going to have to contend with Jaden bleeping Daniels. If you're a Detroit fan, you sure? Are you sure it's going to go your way?
It's going to be a little bit of doubt.
I'm sure you believe it's your time and you're due and America loves you. The Hard Knocks cologne. Dan Campbell just going for everything. You love it. That quirky goon Ben Johnson turning people down. He might take the Raiders job because he's a couple nuggets shy of a 20-piece. That's what we're doing. Are you sure that when the ball is in Jaden Daniels' hands in the fourth quarter, you comfortable? How are those britches? How's the exit? Puckered? A little bit? A little bit. You're going to have to see number 5. You're going to have to see McLaurin and Luvu and our guys. Cliff Kingsbury has a couple designs for that defense, which stinks. You think Joe Witt Jr. doesn't have a couple of things that he found out on film that you have a tendency or two? Maybe you're ready for the trick play? Listen, Detroit could come out and wipe the floor with us, and I'll still stand and applaud.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like it's the masterpiece that was a fairly under-talented group, plus Jaden Daniels. Great coaching job, everything. We're in house money right now.
When you look at playoff matchups so often, Danny, it goes to looking at the team and then you go, but the quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. You look at the quarterback and say, well, that's kind of the great equalizer, whether the other team is better, but the other team's got the better quarterback, or if it's a toss-up and this team's got the better quarterback, so I'm going to go this way. The Chiefs haven't been the best team the last couple of years in terms of how they played and maybe in terms of the roster. They've got the best quarterback, though.
They got Mahomes, man.
And guess what? You're going into this matchup. Detroit's probably better at every other spot. Not quarterback. Not quarterback. Mm-mm. And so if Jaden Daniels decides to play Superman for 60 minutes in Detroit tomorrow night, then why can't Washington win? Why can't they? I've seen them go into Cincinnati when this kid is still a rookie. Early on, you guys were at the game.
Yep.
And they didn't punt. They didn't have to worry about. They scored every time they touched the ball. You know how hard it is to lose when you score every time you touch the ball? It's kind of hard.
It's kind of hard.
Even when the defense gives up a touchdown every single time, it seems like the other team has the ball.
Yeah, pretty much.
It might happen.
Since he didn't score once and it was on a missed field goal.
but if Washington can go out there and just do their thing, when you've got the guy, you've got the dude that everyone else wants. You had that epic rant after the Eagles game. You've got the guy that everyone else in the league right now is looking at saying, I wish we had that guy. And
you
he
don't.
Plays here in D.C., why can't they go and win? Why not?
So for me and my age group, I'm 45, oldest I've ever been. Thank you. For one person who got that. for people my age and up, we were all there and we saw that, and I think we probably all took it for granted to a degree, that run, beginning with the second half of Gibbs' first season, all the way through 1992, before we knew that this world would never be the same again in terms of our football team. The feeling that I always try to describe to young folks like yourself and others is, even if they didn't win a game, even if they didn't win in the playoffs, like you lose to the Giants in the 86 NFC Championship game, 17-0. That Giants team was unbelievable, went on to win the Super Bowl. You lose to the Bears a year after they were, or maybe the year before they turned into that 85 Bears team. You drop one of the 49ers. You see where I'm going. You lose to one of the great teams the sport has ever seen. You go, they'll be back. Think about that for a second. Process that with me. Every time we've gone to the postseason, talk about Washington, over the last, 30-some years, it's been a miraculous run. 99 notwithstanding, that was a good team from start to finish. Not great, but good. 05, 07, 2012, 2015, whatever it was, it took mountains moving. It took, for Ron Rivera, the worst division in the history of sport to drag his carcass to the postseason. Yes. So like we could have a Taylor Heinicke meme, right? It took incredible things just to get there so you could be cannon fodder for a real contender. The idea that you would lose in a given year and the year would be over and be ripped away from you, they'll be back. That was wrong. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For the last several decades. Here's what I'm here to tell you. If they lose tomorrow night, which again is very possible, they'll be back. If they lose tomorrow night, they got a bunch of cap space. We got Adam Peters. He knows what to do. He sees the same things we see. He was right about more than idiot radio hosts pointing right at myself, if you can see on the YouTube page, were about this roster and about the challenges they would face, etc. He's smarter than me. He's smarter than most. They're going to be back.
This is the floor. Right, I'm not saying that next year they're going to win 13 games.
No, the schedule's tough. You never, you don't get a Hail Mary. It doinks the other direction. You could lose a few.
But this is the floor of how this team is going to play. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a better secondary receiver than Terry McLaurin, and then go into Olamide Zaccheaus or De'Ami Brown or Noah Brown. You're going to improve there. You're going to improve the D line. You're going to improve in various spots. This is kind of the floor of where this roster is going to be, at least for Jaden Daniels' rookie contract. And so it's only going to get better. And this is the first time that you have the confidence that you can say that, right? I mean, if you go back to the last team that maybe you felt like you could have said that with a rookie quarterback, you didn't know because RG3's coming off the injury. You didn't know if you're for sure going to be back. You felt like you would. You know, you felt like this was the start of something. This feels like something that has been building, and it's gotten better as the season has gone on. And you talk about Detroit and what they have built. There's a lot of parallels in how Detroit 100%. Is doing things and how they're doing things here. Like, you look at what Dan Quinn is doing, whether you want to buy into the leader of men stuff or whatnot, because you don't know exactly what his game day responsibility. He's not calling plays, right? There's something to it. Dan Campbell has created an entire juggernaut of a franchise out of a place that's been a joke for years by doing that, being a great leader, depending on his coordinators, building up the roster. Dan Quinn's kind of done the same thing in just a less brash, you know, kind of meathead sort of way. He's done the same sort of thing, and it's year one.
They mirror each other. Really savvy offensive minds. A GM that sees the three-dimensional chessboard before you. A coach that says, this is our personality. And it's not just lip service. You do it all the time. Campbell's like, we're going for it. Coach, it's 4th and 15 from your own 7. Go for it. I mean, that's what he does. That's who they are. You don't just do it sometimes and then not follow through because it's a tough situation. This is what DNA is. And you're establishing something. And it makes sense now that I've seen it play out. It didn't as much in the preseason. Kind of going, well, this doesn't make as much sense. I'm not really sure. What's the plan here? Why are we doing this? Now I see. The vision was always there from Peters and company, really the Harris ownership group.
Well, and I think that they brought up a good point. I forget what podcast I heard it on, but it's a really good point about when you think about when Adam Peters brought in some of the guys that he brought in this offseason.
It was the Grant and Danny podcast available.
It probably was.
Wherever you get your
podcast. It probably was. Zach Ertz, right? When he brings him in, you think, okay, nice veteran. He's going to help Jaden as a rookie. They're probably not going to do anything, right? Like, it's not a big deal. You think about bringing in Bobby Wagner. Okay, he's been a solid player. He's kind of on the last leg of his career. Bring him in. Now suddenly, Danny, they're in the divisional round of the playoffs. Those guys have been there. Zach Ertz has played and won a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Bobby Wagner has played and won a Super Bowl. These dudes aren't intimidated.
That's right.
They're the leaders of your football team. Jaden's not shaken. He's still a rookie. This is the first time he's going through this. But you also have brought in guys that when we talked about this in the preseason, when they brought these guys in, it was like, okay, this is nice to help develop the culture and get all these things. But suddenly, they're playing a pivotal role as the guys who have been there before for a team that is way further down the line than we would have ever expected.
So I probably shouldn't tell this story, but it's been decades, so I'll go ahead and tell it. I'm not going to say the name of the fraternity, but a couple of guys from a fraternity at the George Washington University, they jumped a soccer player that we were buddies with, okay? And we didn't like that. Because yeah, we were buddies with those guys, right? And now you get baseball guys and soccer guys, different bodies. They run a lot. We're built differently, okay? And I don't mean like, dude, I'm built different. I mean just we're built differently, like stocky.
You run a little bit.
Yeah, stocky, chunky dudes that go home to first. Occasionally leg out some doubles, right? So it's me, a couple other dudes that are way bigger than I am or was at that point, and a few guys that are medium sized. Point is, we go knocking on that door, and they open it, and we barge right in and started throwing haymakers, beating everybody's ass 6 ways from Sunday. One guy who was smaller than me comes down the stairs, sees the carnage and chaos that's going on. We lock eyes, and I'm feeling pretty good about myself because there are a lot of bodies are down and I'm up.
Sure.
Me and my buddies are doing just fine. He looks at me and goes, "I ain't scared of you." and I'm like, "Well." I paused because he should be. I look around. I'm going, that dude's 6'3", 240. Could have played tight end at Cincinnati. He's a fifth-round draft pick of the Reds. That dude is 6'2", 215. His abs have abs. I look like Sack Boy, but I'm stocky. I got some meat on the bones. A bunch of guys are pretty big. He looked at me and said, "I ain't scared of you." And it threw me. I got uncomfortable. Don't worry about how the rest of the story went, but the point is, I was thrown off. What's the point of that? Detroit's great. This group right here that wears burgundy and gold, they ain't scared of you. They're not scared. They do winning time. Oh, it's a close game? Oh, it's the fourth quarter of a close game? No problem. We got a guy. Oh, no, we're down a little bit at some point in the game, and we're not playing that great? We ain't scared. That is dangerous. That's dangerous. When you've got a group that probably deep down knows they don't really belong just yet with some of the big boys, you got a group that deep down probably realizes they're not as talented, not quite as good, but they're also not scared because they're battle-tested, they've been through it, they've gone on a streak, they've won in close games, they've won every way that you can win, even when they shouldn't have won these games. My point here is, let's see, they got to deal with us. They got to deal with our guys who are here for a street fight. And I'm here for it. I cannot wait for tomorrow.
It's a dangerous feeling when all 53 guys feel that too, Danny. It's
yeah.
not something where it's just the offensive guys. I got to talk to Quan Martin a couple weeks ago and asked him about that. And he said, you just feel like find a way to get it in Five's hands. Just find a way to give it back to the offense. When's the last time, by the way, that you could say that about this team and this quarterback and the people on this football team, this offense, that you just want to give them the ball back with, you know, down four with a minute and a half left, they're going to go win, you have confidence? The feeling I had when they got the ball back with 4 minutes to go against Tampa Bay last week was confidence, Danny. I haven't felt that about this team, and I don't know how long, if ever, that you get the ball back, you put it in the Jaden Daniels' hands, and just let him go win the game. And that's dangerous when the defense feels that, where they're like, we don't have to be perfect. Let's just make it close so that Jaden has a chance at the end. It doesn't have to be perfect. Let's just keep it close until the last second, and we have confidence our guy's going to get it done. That's how everyone feels over there. And that's a dangerous thing to have going into Detroit because, look, if Detroit blows them out, it could very well could happen.
Yeah.
And they could just stomp on them and it's over early. But I tell you one thing, if Washington's 53 believes it and Detroit's 53 starts feeling the little bit of tightness come in because it's close in the fourth quarter, you know who's not going to be tight? Jaden Daniels. And I have every faith and confidence that if you give the ball back to this guy with a chance to go win the game, he's going to go do it.
It's going to get one. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. We're live at Uptown Alley in Manassas. Fans, quite frankly, this is your day. This is your time. We are here. We are a conduit for you to express yourself. We are a vehicle for you to share the excitement, to share in the joy of the fact that the Washington 53 is playing in the most meaningful game they have in a couple of decades, maybe more. 800-636-1067. Here's your question. How? How do they do it? Write your script. Give me the formula. Whatever you want to say, however it's got to go down for them to pull off this upset, how do they do it? Toby's got an answer. I got mine as well. 800-636-1067 is the telephone number. Want to hear from you guys. How do they pull this off? How do they go into Detroit as 9.5-point underdogs and win this football game? Your calls on this next. Welcome back to Grant and Danny here on 106.7. The Fan, we are live. We'll do it live at Uptown Alley in the heart of Manassas. I am scarfing down pizza dip, which is pizza but a dip, and a chicken cheesesteak. Now, you're probably going, why don't you go regular cheesesteak? And my response is, mind your business. You know what I mean? Like, why are you so invasive with your questions? That's kind of what I felt like getting, so I got it in a way. Like, I saw the judgment from you, that's Toby, and I saw the judgment from a few people around when I said chicken cheesesteak. I don't need that, all right? It's my pregame thing. I'm worried about it. You don't have to worry about it. You get what you want from Uptown Alley. You feel me?
Yeah, I was loving the Boom Boom Shrimp. That was a little bit of spice to it, a little bit of the Yum Yum sauce. I'm going to have to get some more of that. I'm a big-time fan of that. The pizza dip looked good, though.
Yeah.
I'm not a dip guy, I was telling you.
Which is strange, because you're a human being. You know what I mean? Like, human beings love dips. That is a scientific fact.
My food takes are not quite Grant Paulson's, but they are unique.
Well, respectfully, nobody's are. He didn't put milk on cereal. Wouldn't go to the Cheesecake Factory because he thought all they did was make cheesecake, which would actually make me think you would want to go there more.
Exactly.
He's a toddler. But we do wish him well. That poor guy is sick as a dog. So, GD here on the Fan. Toby's in for GP. As always, Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season. It's time for you to plan for your future as well. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Morod can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. If you're just joining us, talking about this enormous football game that you guys may be familiar with that's coming up tomorrow evening. Washington is an underdog. They're a significant underdog, the biggest underdog of the weekend. Them and Houston tied, I guess maybe with the current spread. Actually, last I checked, they're around the same. 8.5, 9.5, whatever. Depends on your book. If they upset the Detroit Lions, that's what it is. It's an upset. If they just upset the Detroit Lions, how? Write me your script. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. How do they do it? Let's start line one, Darius. Let's go to Drew. They're not booing. They're saying Drew at the Detroit airport. Drew, what's up, dude?
Hey, right now I'm in the Uber to the hotel.
Hell yeah.
And I agree, having Jaden Daniels is key. But also, Dan Quinn has done pretty good when he was a defensive coordinator against Dan Campbell's offenses. And my view is, you know, you got to stop the Detroit Lions like a couple times, right? If you add up punts and turnovers, if one team has two less than the other, I think that team wins, and I think that's Washington. So that's kind of what I'm calling for this.
Appreciate you. Yeah, that's thanks for sending me to cut you off there. Enjoy the trip. To me, that's one of the things that you're going to see a lot, I think, is the weaker of the two units for both teams is their defense. That's obvious, right? Can Washington do something? You're not stopping them. You're not holding them under a certain yardage total. They're not going to self-destruct in all likelihood. Maybe they do, and if so, you take it happily. But for the most part, can you make that one play? When it's third and 14, can you get them off the field? Not give up 8 yards, but then they can go for it. I mean, can you get off the field? Can you get that sack? Can you get that fumble, that tip pass interception? Something to find a way to change this game on the weaker side of football.
Yeah, defensively, they're going to have to play their best game of the year. And it doesn't have to be something where they hold them under 30 points, because I think Washington can score with them.
That's what'll do it, is the time, yeah.
Every single time you get an opportunity to make a play, you got to make the play. And you look at Tampa last week, Tampa kind of self-destructed, right? I don't, like you said, I don't think Detroit's going to do that. I don't think there's going to be a botched handoff. I don't think that, you know, their center's suddenly going to snap it too early. I don't think that sort of thing is going to happen. But if Jared Goff throws you one, even if it's a difficult play, make the play.
Got to make it.
Right? Like, if someone puts the ball in the turf, you got to be the one on it. So anytime there's an opportunity to make a play, or you, like you said, third and 14, don't let them get into a spot where they can go for it. So whenever there are the plays to be made, which there might not be a lot of them because Detroit might just walk right up and down the field all game long, but whenever there's that chance to be made,
got
to
do it.
You only got to come up with a handful of stops, Dan. And like, it's not like you're coming up with, you know, holding them to 17 points. If you hold them to 28 and you lose, it happens.
That's as good as most teams have
done. They're
a better
team, right? Yeah. So I think that's what it's going to be. Make the plays that are in front of you. If you can, give your offense a shot. I think they could get it done that way.
Write the script, 800-636-1067. Let's go to Brian in Charlottesville. Oh, hey, Brian.
Yeah, hey, Danny. So, look, they just got to keep the game close. And if they do, and we got the ball in our hands in the last couple of minutes, whose time is that? That's our time.
Yep.
You know, when it gets into overtime and somebody's got to step up and play ball, that's our time. And what is the playoffs if it's not the overtime of the regular season? That is our time. We are going to win this game. We're going to keep it close, and we're going to run down there at the end of the game, and we're going to score that last final touchdown.
That's the script for me, by the way. And thank you, Brian. That's it for me, Tobes, is there are a couple different paths this game goes. One, Detroit does what they've done to most everybody, and they're running out of the building. You know, tip your cap. Go, that's a well-built team. It's a machine. They're great. If it's close and Washington has the ball at the end, I think everybody here at Uptown Alley, I think everybody listening to your voice and my voice goes, where do I sign? Sign me up for a clutch moment featuring Jaden Daniels. And even if it doesn't work out, you go, that was our best bolt. That was our chance, right? I don't want to go down with, thinking back to some Nats playoff collapses. I don't want to have my seventh best pitcher on the mound and have the opposing team cheer when I take out Max Scherzer, right? I don't want to go down that way. I want to go down with Jaden Daniels. Win, lose, or draw, that's the formula to me.
Yeah, I mean, he's proven time after time that he is ready for these moments. He's up for these moments. And the thing about it, you give him four downs to pick it up. I mean, him running, him finding someone. And the other thing, who's going to step up outside of Terry, I think, is going to be huge. Is it going to be Zach Ertz? Last week,
yeah,
it was
we'll
Deami Brown.
Yeah.
It's going to be big on who else steps up. But I think with Jaden Daniels, you put the ball in his hands, you're going to feel good. And I think you look on the other sideline, there's a little bit of nerves when Jaden's got the ball in his hands
100%.
With a chance to win it.
Let's go to line three. Shane in Switzerland. Shane, how do they do it?
Shane, what's up?
Shane. Shane. Wow. All right, back on hold for Shane. 800-636-1067. Line five, DP in Sterling. How do they win this football game, sir?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, man, I'm going to go old school. They got to control that line of scrimmage, offensive side and defensive side. Offensive side, they'll be able to run the ball, and they'll open the doors for Jaden to do his thing, get the ball to the outside receivers. And like the caller said earlier, there is going to be a receiver that's going to step up. I think it'll be, what's the guy named? Zacchaeus?
Zacchaeus,
I think
that's
the guy's name. And, but mainly, they control that line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. They're going to get this victory.
DP, I love that. I appreciate you, dude. Thank you, man. I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry about that. Here's the thing, Tobes. I generally, like, start to shiver and break out in hives when we start to go full Chris Russell, right? Where it's like, run the ball, stop the run, said the guy from 1987. But I'm telling you, there's a lot to that, especially running the ball, because of how poorly they've run it. If you're able to, I'm not talking about rip off like you did against Tennessee. That would be fantastic, obviously. I would take that, running for 260-some yards as a team. But if you are doing those body blows, 4 and 5 on first down, 2nd and 8, 4 yards. You're keeping it manageable. You're doing the thing that I want you to do. This offense, what's been amazing about it, not just the point totals, not just the yards, not just Aiden Daniels, but they've played ball control without doing the thing that you play ball control
exactly,
with.
Exactly, yes.
I think it's an underrated storyline here down the stretch, is they have held the ball for, you know, 33, 35, 35 minutes against Tampa without being able to run it a lick. That's incredible. That's your best offense. That's your best defense, rather, in this game, is limiting possessions, limiting the amount of times. So all you got to ask your defense to do is make that one stop, get that one turnover, do one thing, because you don't punt, presumably, and they don't really either. And that's your formula. That's the way to do it. And that starts with being able to run the ball, at least early down.
So this offense all year, to me, they've had some explosive plays, but they've been built off of efficiency, right? It's not, you know, 20-yard plays down the field. You look at Detroit, they're built off explosive plays.
Yeah.
Washington's not. It's 4, 5, 6 yards a pop, and it doesn't always have to be the run game. At the first part of the year, it was the run game. The last half of the year, it's been anything but the run game, essentially, at least with running backs. And so I like his point of controlling the line of scrimmage, but if there's one thing that I have no hope in, if the thing I'm least confident in, yeah, it's controlling the line of scrimmage. They can still get it done without doing
on
it.
On both sides, frankly.
Exactly right.
Yeah, even without Kevin Zeitler, I still don't feel good about
it. If they find a way, though, to control the line of scrimmage, there's an easy way to find a way to win this game, because I have no confidence they're going to be able to, especially a D-line against their O-line, no confidence that they're going to be stopping their run game.
Kirk Morrison joins us at 3 o'clock to talk about this game and all the others in a wonderful sports weekend. We got the national championship game on Monday, but the professional business to attend to first, Saturday, Sunday, doubleheaders on both days. It's perfect. I love this sports weekend. Kirk Morrison up next here. Grant Nanny live from Uptown Alley in Manassas. You guys realize that's what we're talking about? That's what we're talking about. You win this game, you now get to have frank and open conversations without being called a lunatic about Super Bowls. Not the other team, not the other city. It's like, who do you want to see? Obviously, now that Washington's been eliminated. No. You get to have that conversation. You're in the Final Four. That's what's on the line. If you beat an excellent Detroit team. Welcome back. Grant Nanny here on the fam. No GP. He's got the flu. Tobias Altizer is hanging out with us. Kirk Morrison joins us in about 14 minutes. Until then, I want your calls. How do they do this? How do they win this football game? I'll give you my answer super quick, Tobes, and I want yours. To me, you got to get a break of some kind. And it doesn't diminish how good they are. It doesn't diminish how well they've played. It's got to be that Jared Goff brain fart. What are you doing, guy? That's not. Don't throw that pass. Just take the sack. Or the tip pass that goes up in the air that could be 50-50. That's an interception. The fumble. They got guys that basically haven't lost a fumble all season long. David Montgomery, I think, has lost a couple. They're really, really good at taking care of the football while being prodigious on offense. That's very rare. Get that break. Get that one where the announcer's going, that's the last fumble this year for Jahmyr Gibbs. That's the first time Amon Ross St. Brown has coughed it up. Get that. That's got to happen for you. You need that fortuitous break. That's number one. You play hard in case you get it. Number two, I think they've got to do what they did against Tampa, to borrow from Spinal Tap, turned up to 11. That football needs to be yours. You need to manipulate the game. You end the first half with the football, and you start the second half with the football. Those kind of things can happen for you and can dramatically influence the outcome of a game. The offense of Detroit is a juggernaut. If they're off the field and literally not playing for an hour in real time as you hold the ball and go down the football field and the first half with it, start the second half with it, go on time-consuming drives, that's not easy just to come out and be sharp again. So to me, it's that break that you keep fighting for and you hope it happens, and ball control. That's my formula. What's yours?
Yeah, my number one is, we talked about this after the Eagles game. You're going to try to run the ball with Brian Robinson. You're going to try different things. If it's not working, just let Jaden be Jaden. If it's not working early and you're Cliff Kingsbury, get rid of the other sections. Just put the ball in Jaden's hands. Let him do his thing. So early on, figure out what's working. If that run game's not working, just let Jaden be Jaden, number one to me. Number two, you cannot let them get the home run runs. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to break some. It can't be a 65-yard touchdown. It can be a 25-yard run, and you stop him at the 50. It can be a 15-yard run. It can't be a 65-yarder, because that's how you go from being in this game to suddenly being out of it. If something happens, you go three and out, and Jahmyr Gibbs breaks another one. You cannot allow the home runs from Gibbs, which I'm really worried about. You know, you'd love to say stop the run game. I don't think that's going to happen. I just don't think that's going to happen. But if you can limit it where, you know, they can have a couple 10, 15-yard runs, that's going to happen. You can't have the backbreaker 50, 60, 70-yard touchdown runs. I think if you do that, make Goff beat you a little bit, I think you'll stand a chance. But if you give those big, big runs up, good luck.
800-636-1067 is the number. How do they do it? Line six, I do believe. Josh in Virginia Beach. Josh, how do they pull off this upset?
Hey, gents, happy Friday. How's it going?
Good, pal.
Good. I got to say, I'm 32. This is uncharted waters. I've never talked about an important game in mid-January. How we are going to do this is, in the first half, across this win streak, we've been kind of an empty shell of a team. The second half, we've come out as an absolute force. We need that second half play in the first half, those back-breaking drives that you were talking about, and maybe a turnover or two, but we've got to be able to make those adjustments before halftime to give ourselves a chance in the first half.
I think that's smart, my friend. I appreciate you, Josh. Yeah, I don't know that you – we talked about this during this winning streak, Topes. They were living dangerously. Like, you have that first half against Philly. We forgot about it, but it was one of the worst halves of football they played. It was penalties. They couldn't get out of their own way. They looked lost. Everything was broken. And then it was – Jaden Daniels time. That was awesome, but you can't live that way, right? You can't do that. You can't turn it over as many times as they did and still win a football game of this magnitude against Detroit, in all likelihood. Those – quick adjustments have to happen. I think to this Tampa game, before we go to the rest of the calls real quick, remember in real time where Tampa switched up everything that they were doing in some of the red zone situations, where I don't know if they had played zone at all. I don't know if it was a different zone. Point of the dude's story is, all of a sudden, Washington had no play calls on that sheet. Where you go, I don't know what's going to work here. Our pass concepts or our designs weren't against this defense. They couldn't run it, certainly. They couldn't throw it, and it was kind of a hot mess for a second. And you lost a possession or two because of it before the change was made. It's got to be quick. It's got
to
be quicker.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about them not being able to have a bad first half like they have against some of these teams, the other teams that they played, like I think Tampa was a better football team overall than what Washington, maybe not playing better than Washington. They find a way to win. You look at some of the teams during the winning streak that they've beaten, and I think they're better football teams, and they've had bad first halves. I think against arguably the best football team in the entire league in the Detroit Lions, you cannot do that, because one thing about the Lions is they're not afraid to go up 28-0. They're not afraid to go up 35. They'll hang 50 on you if they can. Other teams might not do that. They're willing to do it. So you cannot have a bad first half and expect to bail yourself out in the second half. If you can make those quick adjustments, like you're saying, even if it's after a drive, and just find a way to find little bits of success, you got to stay in it. Stay in it.
Let's go to a Lions fan. Line 7, Anthony in Detroit. Anthony, you're a fan of an excellent team. Please tell us how to beat them.
Guys, thank you for having me on, and please take your finger off the dump button. I got nothing bad to say. But I'm calling from Detroit. I just listen to the Detroit radio out here, and the topic right now is, how does Washington beat us? And callers are calling in, and I have a consensus concern to share with you guys. The consensus concern, of course, is Jaden Daniels and an RPO game that you guys can run. Mm-hmm. When Jaden Daniels runs the ball, and you guys probably already know this, I'm sure you do, when he runs the ball more than 7 times a game, you guys are 8-1. So his legs are what would beat us. Also, our corner, Terrion Arnold, rookie corner, every game he gets a crazy bad call, pass interference. So if Scary Terry can play his game against Arnold, you guys will get that one big giant call that could flop the field and turn the game. Also, you guys possess the ball so well. If you can wear down our defense that is beat up by just holding on to the ball, keeping those guys out there and going for him on fourth down, that'd be give a really good chance. That's my take to you guys and the fears that are coming from Detroit, if there is fears, that is. But those are the ones.
Yeah, there probably shouldn't be a lot, but Anthony, appreciate the phone call, my friend. By the way, that checks out. He's a Detroit guy. You could hear a little of that accent. It's not full Wisconsin, but it's that Midwestern where it's like, why can't I get the air through my nose? Midwest.
Well, and by the way, he brought up a really good point about Detroit. When's the last time you get to face maybe the best team in the league and you're not scared of one of their units? You're not scared of their defense, right? Like, their offense is a juggernaut. Their defense is all beat up. And by the way, I think Washington has one of those guys that gets a bunch of PI penalties as well.
Not familiar. I don't know him.
Can't have that this week. Can't have it.
No.
None of that, please.
No. Well, you have to be close enough to commit the penalty.
Exactly.
And I'm worried about that against their speedy wideouts. But here's the thing. And that one loss, by the way, when you referenced, if Jaden Daniels runs 7-plus times, that's week one was the one loss. That was when they lost to Tampa Bay, and they didn't have much going. This is a different team since then. Appreciate the phone calls. We'll take a bunch more as the show progresses. We got longtime NFL player Kirk Morrison joining us here at 3 to go around this busy weekend in the NFL playoffs. We'll talk about our game, talk about the three others as well. That's next on The Fan.